And you're listening to EAA Radio. This is Magneto Mel. Today we have Don Ike, who is a meteorologist with the NTSB, from what I understand. And what's entailed in that job?
Well, I look at the environmental factors related to aircraft accidents, and actually I'm all cross-modal, but primary aviation. So we'll look at reconstructing what the weather conditions were relating to an accident, what the pilot might have known from his pre-flight briefings, what the forecast observations were. We'll reconstruct the weather radar, satellite imagery, synoptic conditions to kind of give us an idea of what was going on, be it VFR into instrument meteorological conditions, thunderstorm impacts, icing. Weather is a big factor in general aviation accidents. It's 25% of all our general aviation accidents, and it has one of the highest cost of fatalities, about 98%. So weather is very unforgiving to our pilots, and if we do get into a weather situation, it is a high likelihood of being a fatal accident.
And what are some of the most a weather situation? I mean, thunderstorms or icing, what's the most predominant cause?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. We basically start with our low visibility, fog and low ceilings, our VFR and IMC. That accounts for almost 90% of our single engine fixed gear accidents weather-wise. But again, 98% of those are going to be fatal. Then as we see performance levels, commercial instrument ratings, we see more loss of control in IMC, icing conditions and thunderstorms, and we see more of our commercial instrument aircraft multis, we see more thunderstorm type of impacts, but it's across the board. And we're talking about the big fatal accidents, not the minor fender benders from density altitude or, you know, a crosswind landing where we ground loop, things like that. The big major fatal accidents where, I hate to say, we're going to really get involved in an investigation, it's typically going to be IMC conditions, loss control, turbulence, icing, and thunderstorms.
Now, so if it's severely clear and there's no... Who makes the determination and how does that work that you get called in to be a part of an investigation?
Well, I'm in the national headquarters of the NTSB. I'm on the big GO team, so when a major accident occurs, the GO team is launched. I stand by on the major GO teams for major support, but I also support all our field offices. So if they come in and they had an accident that they can't find anything mechanically wrong. Engine was working at the time of impact, all the control surfaces were working, and they're at a loss of why this airplane came down. I typically will get involved, and that's where I try to reconstruct what was going on, start with the synoptic conditions, were there fronts pushing into the area, were there upper level lows, and what was the wind flow pattern? What was the turbulence potential, icing cloud layers. So we'll reconstruct everything and put the flight track in. We'll actually even go, if they file a flight plan, if they were being tracked on radar, we'll take the ground track and overlay it on the radar, on the satellite image, and kind of be able to exactly tell them what they went through with cloud layers, freezing levels, turbulence potentials. We'll look at soundings and aircraft reports, document the entire network of information and try to come up with what was the probability of turbulence, icing, convective weather encounter. And we'll put it in a technical report and put it into our findings to hopefully make a recommendation to prevent it from happening again.
And how do you recreate the conditions of the scenario? Is that something that's computerized these days? And if it is, previous method did that replace?
Well, we'll use some of the archive National Weather Service products. We're kind of look at the National Weather Service, what the pilot would have been using. We'll go into the National Weather Service database, and I have my own computer system called MacITIS, Man Computer Interactive Data System, and it allows me to archive, go back into archive data, radar, satellite, and reconstruct it. So it's just looking at the text data, what you'd see in a normal briefing, METARs, TAF, upper air charts, wind, and putting the radar into play, the satellite imagery, and we'll kind of look at it and do cross sections and analysis, look at the ADS products, what's archived, and kind of recreate what was available, what likely would have been a factor, and put it all into a technical report. make it available to our field investigators and hopefully answer some of the questions and potential causes that might have, or factors that might have related to the accident.
You know, is this something that you do on a national level and then you kind of field it out across the U.S., or is there somebody that's specifically familiar with the meteorological conditions?
It's a big word.
Meteorological conditions in specific regions or locally?
Well, there is regional influences of weather, be it mountain wave activity, capping inversions with mountains, things like that, density altitude problems in the West Coast. So there are regional influences and regional problems, and we'll look at those. Sometimes it takes a little bit more investigation on local phenomenons, but we'll try to do our best on a national scale from the large-scale synoptic causes like the frontal systems, and go into the mesoscale, the smaller interactions, and even potential microburst type of activity. We have access to most of that data and do our best to recreate it and try to find out the answers to it. We're pretty good that we're able to reconstruct what was the likely weather conditions at a site at a specific time, almost anywhere in the world. We have the data. Of course, we're better in the United States where we have good weather reporting facilities and access to information. And believe it or not, the National Weather Service do a great job with their products. They're relatively right on with their TAFs, their METARs, the in-flight advisories. We miss every now and then, but they get it pretty right the first time. And I hate to say is the majority of the cases we look at, if a pilot gets a briefing and continues to get information updated en route, he should not have any major surprises.
Now, I'm sorry. When you say we, you're talking about your team, obviously. What kind of a team is that? What different roles are on there, and how big is it, and how many of each?
Well, if we're talking about a major aircraft accident, we'll have operations, a pilot-oriented investigator on board. We'll have weather. We'll have an air traffic control expert, performance, engines, human factors. Survival factors. So we'll have experts at each field looking at their individual part, because a lot of times in these accidents, all we know is a date, maybe a time, location, and it's forensic work. A field investigator will go out and make the initial idea of what happened, start looking for information, and depending on what he finds, if there's no mechanical, there's no control issues, will likely get called into play. And we have three meteorologists at the NTSB, so we have we do a rotational shift. So we'll one guy may get a case, the next guy will be on standby for the next one. But we'll gather the information and write a report and come up with our findings.
And there are various regions, and you mentioned mountain flying and some others. So what kind of training would a person need to get involved with the meteorological aspects of an investigation if they wanted to go?
Okay. I'm a degreed meteorologist and a pilot, and my degree's in aeronautics, meteorology, and accident investigation.
Have you seen some of the technology or flight equipment or whatever change because of some of the stuff that's been discovered?
Well, we have. If you look at the current icing product for winter weather flying with the icing, that was a direct relationship to an accident. A lot of our convective weather products that you're seeing, from even convective SIGMETs, the National Collaborative Convective Forecast and convective forecast in general, where we're trying to give you an idea hours out where thunderstorms are, they're all in response to some of our accidents. And I hate to say, even look at the Scott Crossfield accident into thunderstorms. We're trying to use the lessons learned on that to try to improve and hopefully stress the importance of get a briefing, getting an update, and using the sources available from air traffic control. ATC has weather radar now, and we want people to know how to use it, get the correct terminology, and use the system effectively and keep them safe.
This has been Don Ike with the National Transportation Safety Board, NTSB. A lot of people don't remember what that stands for. He's a meteorologist, I said that right that time.
That's right.
And we thank you very much for coming in.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for your time.
Absolutely. You are listening to EAA Radio at 1116 AM on 1210 AM, 100.7 FM, and on the internet at airventure.org.